The Global Peace Network, Pax Christi International, has concluded its General Assembly in Belgium with a visit to the town of Ypres and a tour of the First World War cemeteries, a poignant reminder of the devastation caused by conflicts over the past century. The Pax Christi movement was founded in France at the end of the Second World War by Catholics seeking to promote reconciliation and healing. It has grown into a worldwide faith-based network with over 100 member organisations involved in conflict resolution and justice and peace promotion. At the assembly, which concluded at the weekend, outgoing International President Patriarch Michel Sabah of Jerusalem handed over to two new co-presidents, Archbishop Laurent Monsengwo of the Democratic Republic of Congo and American laywoman Marie Dennis, formerly head of the Maryknoll Office for Global Concerns.
In each part of the movement, our work is expressed in different ways, but the common areas of major concern continue to include disarmament, peace building, all of the very kind of traditional work for peace, for a more peaceful world.
As delegates visited the First World War memorials on Friday, I talked to Marie Dennis about the challenges facing the organization today.
I think the greatest challenge is to turn, this is probably quite obvious, but it's to turn the world away from the variety of violences that now plague almost every corner of the world, whether it's the violence of war, of which we have much too much, the violence of street crime and local insecurities, the violence of poverty, the violence of torture. The list is very long, and the challenge for Pax Christi as a movement based in every corner of the world is to create a culture of peace, to literally find other ways and encourage people to move in other directions than the direction in which we're now headed.
Is this the first time that a woman has been elected president or co-president of the organization?
It is, yes. The initial founders of Pax Christi after the Second World War were a French woman and a bishop. But since then, the president of Pax Christi has always been a bishop or a cardinal. So this is the first time that a woman has been elected, and it's the first time that we've had co-presidents.
You're also a mother and a grandmother as well, aren't you? What particular gifts, what particular charism do you think you can really bring to the leadership of this organization?
I think what I bring comes very much out of that experience of being a mother and a grandmother, which is very deep roots in local communities. I believe that what I can bring to the movement is commitment to relationships, to building deep, right relationships in every direction in our world, and I think that comes very much from my own experience. I also have been part of the peace movement in the United States for probably 35 years, so I have a pretty long experience in working for peace that is rooted in social justice, and increasingly in recent years, recognizing the connections between environmental destruction and the potential for violence.
You're also a secular Franciscan, aren't you? How much does St. Francis's vision of peace and justice and care for creation really inform all the work that you do?
Yes, I am a secular Franciscan, and the Franciscan direction in life has a tremendous impact on me. I am part of one of the founders of and a member of a small intentional community in Washington, D.C. in the United States called Assisi Community. Our community tries to implement, to interpret the way of Francis, which was the way of Jesus, in our own times. And so in every corner of my life, Francis and Claire have a major impact.
I know you've been arrested and jailed for demonstrating against poverty, against injustice. Do you see that perhaps today there's rather a lack of people willing to stand up for their faith and for their principles, whatever the consequences?
Well, there may be a lack, but there are also many, many people who are doing so every day. It doesn't always result in an arrest. In some ways, we have the privilege in the United States of being able to risk arrest with some safety. That's not true all over the world, but everywhere, in every corner, people are working, giving their lives for peace. And I often have an image of the sort of reality that given all of the work for peace at local levels where people are educating for peace all the way to those who are in prison for peace, that peace almost can't help but break out in the future because there is such a strong movement for peace in the world. On the other hand, that movement for peace is too often overwhelmed by powerful forces that are violent, and we need to keep struggling to overcome that.
Your meeting there in Belgium with representatives of national sections of Pax Christi all over the world, aren't you? And I'm just wondering if you can outline perhaps some of the major areas of concern that the organization will be focusing on in the coming years.
I can, yes. Yes, there are about, in addition to national sections, of which there are many around the world, we also have present at this gathering our partner organizations from all over the world. I think we're representing 50 different countries, so it's a wonderful gathering of wisdom and commitment. In each part of the movement, our work is expressed in different ways, but the common areas of major concern continue to include disarmament, peace building, all of the very kind of traditional work for peace, for a more peaceful world. We also are focusing increasingly on human security, realizing that the lack of attention to basic needs in many parts of the world often makes the work for peace more difficult. So poverty, trying to build a just economy, and so on are important components of peace building. We also are increasingly attentive to environmental destruction, to ecology, always through the lens of its impact on or how it results from violent conflict. So whether we're looking at the arms race itself or war itself, whether we're looking at poverty and economic issues, whether we're looking at environment, we're always doing so through the lens of violent conflict. How are situations worsened by conflict, by war, and how are they causing war? So our major lines of work will continue in about the same direction as they have been in the past. But we have also expressed in particular ways at this meeting a very deep concern about the war in Iraq, calling for a real movement, immediate movement toward a resolution in that war. We have called for, expressed a concern about the situation in Burma, Myanmar, and so on. So there have been a number of resolutions that have passed that are very particularly important in these times.
As you say, you've been involved in the peace movement in your own country, the United States, for many, many years. Do you see really much hope on the horizon in being able to make the voice of organizations like your own heard at government level where the decisions are being taken?
That's a very difficult task. I think that for the last decades, the movement for peace and social justice in the United States has continued. But ours is a very big country, and political and economic decision makers based in the United States or working for the United States government have tremendous power. So the task is a long, slow one. But there are also good people working within the government and within the private sector who are allies, and I think slowly but surely we begin to make a difference. There has been, for example, significant shift in U.S. public opinion about the war in Iraq, and I think an increasing recognition of the injustice of that war and the tragedy that it's creating So slowly we make a difference. We keep at it, and we try to be both faithful and effective, but at least faithful.
During this meeting, you've also been making a pilgrimage to the fields of Flanders, haven't you? Site of one of the terrible tragedies of the past century during the First World War. Tell us a bit about that.
Yes, we are part of a very important part of this gathering has been this pilgrimage that has brought us face to face with the reality of war, to stand in city or a town like Ypres and to realize the devastation that happened here, to see rows and rows and rows of tombstones from young, mostly men who died within just a few months in this part of Flanders, just brings back with such clarity the futility and tragedy of war. I had a very interesting conversation with Bishop Paride Taban from the Sudan, who is part of our assembly here. We were walking through one of the cemeteries together, and the bishop was reflecting on the ongoing tragedy in the Sudan and how, to me, the young soldiers, 17, 18, 19 years old, who were being remembered here, was such a sign of tragedy. And he was saying, well, in the Sudan, the children being drawn into war were 10 years old and 11 years old. And so the terrible tragedy of war goes on. And I think that it just is rekindling the commitment of all of us from Pax Christi International to end war once and for all.
It's particularly significant that you're making this pilgrimage on All Souls Day, of course.
Yes, it is. It's a very moving, and it's especially moving to be here with people from so many countries where All Souls Day brings back recent memories of both loved ones lost and of those who were killed in the pursuit of peace and justice. And so this morning in our Mass, we particularly remembered Archbishop Bosco Romero from El Salvador and the two Marinol sisters and Ursuline's sister and lay worker from Cleveland who were killed in El Salvador, and named peace workers from all over the world who gave their lives for peace. So it is very meaningful to be here on this day.
And my thanks there to Marie Dennis, former head of the Marinol Office for Global Concerns and one of the new co-presidents of Pax Christi International.